It's simple. It's dumb. It's the podcast. Episode 11 of It's Simple, It's Dumb, It's the Podcast, where we talk about the music of Jason Lytle with friends and fans of his. Throughout the season, we've spoken with several different musicians who've collaborated with Jason in some capacity. This week is perhaps the most recent example of Jason working with an artist for the first time, and there's a pretty interesting story at how this one came about. This week's guest is Canadian indie songwriter Brad Turcotte, who records music under the name Brad Sucks. Sucks began recording and releasing music from his home in the early aughts, right around the time when he first heard Granddaddy. He's continued releasing catchy indie rock songs over the past 20 years, most recently in June of this year with his new full-length LP, A New Low in Hi-Fi. We'll hear about one of those tracks in particular that Jason had a small hand in, and we'll hear about what it was like for Brad to interact with one of his musical heroes. Okay, let's cue up the interview. Here's my conversation with Brad Sucks. Let's hear about your story on how you first heard about Granddaddy or first heard Granddaddy.
Way back in the early 2000s, I think I was doing web programming stuff. And I did a few creative little fun website things. And, the record company V2 that Granddaddy was on at the time, they got in touch with me and wanted me to do some sort of project that went nowhere. But they sent me a bunch of free CDs, and the Software Slump was one of them. And I gave it a listen and got really into it. I was surprised.
Were you into music at all at that point in time?
Yeah, I was doing my own stuff, but if I had released anything online, it was just barely.
Yeah.
But I was definitely aspiring to. So like a lot of the reason why I learned how to web program was just to get my own music on the internet back then, back when it was hard.
Okay. So what stood out to you about Software Slump when you were hearing it that first time?
I loved his voice immediately. I mean, it just really, really reached me. And then the production, was such a big deal. It, like, you know, each song painted kind of a world and was a different place, and it was just it just really struck me. And then certain songs were catchy at first. I don't know, it had a really, it was similar to my relationship with a bunch of Radiohead records back then, where you listen to it and you're like, wow, that's a lot of stuff, and maybe I like one song on there. And then you listen to it again and you get really into more of the songs, and things keep growing and your relationship keeps changing with the songs. And it was just a real, I mean, it's one that's stayed with me ever since. I mean, I still like listening to it. Probably one of the ones that I've loved, especially off of the Software Slump, which was the first record I heard, was Minor at the Dial of You.
Your house and I saw your car, but I've no idea where you are from the dial of you. Tire scraps on the
Just had such a, it was a good song and had such an interesting soundscape that, I don't know, just not a lot of other bands were doing similar things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. That one always stands out as being so different from everything else.
Yeah, it has a story in the sound itself and just the tones that he was getting and everything. It was, it really struck me. That was probably one of the first ones that I was just like, this is really different. He does a great job of it still being grounded in this emotion of, you know, longing. So you don't have to care about the story really, or who, what's happening, or who the characters are. You just know, like, oh, he's feeling this, you know, nostalgia or missing, you know, he's longing. And yeah, it just really worked for me. You know, it's we all kind of relate to Jason's sort of introspective, you know, looking at the world a little detached, and that's a huge thing that Granddaddy's music seems to, and just Jason's music in general, seems to do for me.
What kind of impact has Jason's music had on you personally and professionally as someone who's loosely followed in the same path of songwriting and home recording that Jason did?
He's always been a musician that I related to a lot and has been kind of, you know, a guiding presence for his recording and songwriting, of course, but also him being super independent. And, you know, I loved that he openly didn't like touring, and he didn't seem like a guy who wanted to do a bunch of fake pop stuff. When he shut down Granddaddy and moved to the mountains, that blew my mind. I was disappointed that Granddaddy was maybe over, but I also thought it was rad that he did that. And then watching all that and seeing that he was working on having a more balanced life was really inspiring, you know. So in addition to his awesome music, watching his journey and stuff, it's helped me trust my instincts on independent things, and also, you know, reminded me to keep it in check and to try and balance things.
Yeah. So did you ever get a chance to see Granddaddy live when they came through Toronto? Is that where you're at?
I'm in Ottawa. I saw them in Montreal, and I can't. It must have been the Someday tour. They didn't tour for Family Cat, did they?
No, they did not.
Yeah, okay. So it must have been... And I remember I saw them and was just, oh, they're the greatest. And then they broke up shortly after.
That's like the story of almost every Granddaddy fan.
Yeah, I've been hearing that on other episodes. It's pretty funny. You're like, oh, these guys are going to kill it. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I saw them in Montreal, and was just blown away. I know when he when they were coming back, he was very insistent on, you know, wanting it to sound like the records and like with the full production and everything. You know, it's hilarious hearing Jason talk about how dissatisfied he was, because I still remember just being just blown away by how good it was.
So one of the themes of Jason's music, and I'm sure you've picked up on this, is he dwells in the land of like self-deprecation. A lot of his stuff is even kind of grounded in depression, even a little bit at times. And some of it is certainly tongue in cheek, but I think a lot of that is genuine as well. Mm-hmm. And I was comparing that with your sound and your music, and you seem to be the type that probably can't be out self-deprecated, if that's a word. I mean, it's in your name, it's in your album titles, it's in your song lyrics, it's everywhere. Talk about that for a minute.
Well, definitely something I love about Jason's lyrics is he has a way of being able to talk about being sad or depressed or something without it seeming too, I don't know, self-indulgent or whiny or something. I mean, so like he's kind of laughing at himself even as he's having these, you know, bad times, and speaking honestly about his feelings, but still kind of, you know, trying to pick himself back up and also making fun of himself a little bit.
Yeah. And I know there was one interview I read once from Jason where he was talking about how he views a lot of his maybe really, really, I don't want to say depressing again, but those songs that just are super emotional. He views them almost as like a journal, a cathartic thing that he needs to go through to get it out. And then maybe move on from it. And maybe that was also a reason why he didn't like playing some of those songs live. Can you relate to that in your own music?
Yeah. I mean, I probably shy away more. Like Jason's got some really tender ones in his catalog, and I love those ones. And he's able to pull them off so well. And I probably avoid it more. I'm too scared, or I just don't think I would do as good of a job. So I think I tend to couch mine a little bit more in, you know, I'll throw some sad stuff into a more aggressive song or something, or, you know, but to be so raw, it's something he does amazingly well.
Yep. So let's talk about your most recent album, A New Low in Hi-Fi. It came out in June. There's a song on it called In It to Win It. I was in it to win it, but then being in it got a little bit old. I watched all of my bridges burn up in the distance. Anybody follows Jason or Granddaddy for that matter, they probably already heard that this was a kind of a collaboration between the two of you a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the backstory, because there's something funny about how this came about. Can you walk us through what happened here?
Oh, how we connected?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So I followed Jason forever, but we had never really spoken or anything. And I came up with this song, and just to a friend of mine, I was sort of fantasizing. I thought, oh, it sounds a little like a Granddaddy song. I wonder if I could get Jason to sing on it. But then I just, you know, procrastinated. Was too afraid to try and pitch it and didn't think he would go for it. But anyway, so I follow him on Twitter, and one day he made a joke, and I think it was about, you know, American politics or something. And I replied with a joke that was barely about, you know, American politics. And then one of my fans replied and was just like, both of you shut up. and, you know, why don't you mind your own damn business, whatever. And so I just immediately stopped engaging. But then some of Jason's fans replied and were like, you know, don't tell Jason to shut up. And and then he was like, I don't even care who this stupid Jason guy is. And I don't, you know, I don't want to listen to his music. And then there became this big war, and Jason and I are both tagged in it. So we're both getting notifications as this thing goes off. And I'm mortified that, you know, it's looking like I'm somehow involved in this thing that and Jason's getting like insulted by my fan guy and stuff. And then he replied with a zinger or two or something. And one of them made me think a little bit that it was about that he was like, screw this Brad guy type of thing. And then I was like, oh no, today's not the day I get my feelings hurt by one of my heroes. Please, please, please. I want to shut this down. So I DM'd Jason and I was just like, hey, sorry about the crazy fan. You know, big fan, love your stuff. You know, whatever. I'm sorry. And he replied and was, of course, totally chill and laid back. And he was like, oh, it's all good. It's all fun and games. And then, so I was happy. And then he wrote a little something extra. I was like, hey, by the way, when your name came up, I checked out your music and cool sounds.
Whoa, that had to like make your year probably.
Oh right? My God. I went from, you know, nervously sweating for one reason to like another.
Wow.
And so I'm just, oh, thank you so much. And I'm, you know, trying to not overstay my welcome in the DMs. But then I had this song that had been sitting around for a couple of years. So I, you know, calculatedly used my opportunity. It was like, hey, by the way, I have a song that I don't know if you would be interested in hearing it. And he gave me his email. And then it took me probably 6 months to get the nerve together to get a finished version enough.
I thought you were going to say like 6 seconds to send it to.
No, I was like, we have to rethink everything on this song. This has to be good enough to send directly to Jason Lytle. And so I was terrified. And then I sent it to him and he was like, oh, cool. It's a good song. What do you want on it? And then that blew me away.
So when he asked what do you want on it, do you just say whatever the hell you want to do with it is fine with me, or do you have kind of an idea of what you were hoping to get out of it?
Well, first of all, I get neurotic and try to decide that, you know.
Yeah.
Like, is it better to give no direction? Because sometimes people will come to me and they'll go, hey, do whatever you want. And I go, I don't really want to think of anything. Can you just tell me what to do? I'll do it right now if you tell me something. But if you make me think about it, it's going to take, you know, it's going to be till next quarter. So what I did was I just made up a big list of things that I kind of thought. I just brainstormed a big list of things, and a lot of them were kind of ELO related and stuff from his songs, stuff from Jason's song, sorry. I was hoping to get his big epic Oz that he does. I really wanted those in there, and so I sent the list off, and he came back with a few questions, and then did a bunch of stuff and sent it to me, and it was awesome.
Oh,
I mean, I opened the door. I was like, we could do whatever you want. We could tear this whole song down and start from scratch. But he was just like, no, I'm happy to just do the vocals.
That's cool. I actually remember seeing those Twitter comments back then. And I remember thinking the same thing, like, this is a train wreck right now, what I'm reading on Twitter. And what the one thing I recall,
my phone's going off with all of them.
The one thing I recall was that the follower was like standing up for you. He kind of too. He was like, yeah, well, Brad Sucks is so much better. I mean, paraphrasing, obviously.
Yeah, he did.
And so it's kind of funny for you. It's like, oh, that's nice, but please don't say that.
I was like, I'm not on your side, man. There's a, if we're picking sides between me and Jason Lyle's side, I'm on Jason. But yeah, he was like defending me and saying, you know, Jason's music sucked or whatever. And I'm like, dude, I do not want this.
That's a great story. Let's go to your favorite song from Jason Lytle.
Now It's On. Lead track off of Someday. Man, it's such a good song. I've been listening to it, re-listening to it in preparation for talking to you.
The intro for me is one of those like, what the hell is this? What am I about to listen to? And we heard Ben talk about this on episode one, just listening to it with his dad and like being like, oh my God, what is this? Like, songs don't really start that way. And it's got such an awesome intro to me that it's one of those. And to start the album that way, I just feel like it's makes such a statement. You're right.
Like, yeah, it's like and as the lead track too. Now it's on. Now the record's on. Here we go. It's just a real here we go. And I like the sounds he chose for the very, very beginning. It sounds like a weird machine powering on with a duck call in it and stuff. You know, just really cool. I love Jason's soundscapes, and Someday has less because it's probably more guitar oriented than Software Slump, but they're still in there and it's awesome. But Now It's On, when it's especially cranked volume, that thing still makes my arm hair stand up. Bust the lock off the front door. I think the thing that makes it my favorite, and I mean, it's so hard to pick a favorite song by Jason because there's so many great ones, but this one really does it for me because it kind of has a determined, almost tough guy kind of vibe to it. It's like he's declaring that he's gonna, you know, kick ass, you know, maybe just at life, like being better or getting his shit together. But he's got such like a sensitive sounding voice. In the season of the old me, I wouldn't trade my place. I got no reason to be weathered and withering like in the season of the old me. Bust the front door. you know, the title Now It's On can be taken a bunch of different ways. In the song, you know, Now It's On, he talks about a light switch and or a light porch light. But I kind of took it as Now It's On, like, in sort of an aggressive way of like, here we go. I'm going to kick ass at this thing I'm going to do. And that kind of sentiment juxtaposed with the loud guitars and his sweet and sensitive voice is just, it just really makes it for me.
Yeah. I think this one might've been one that the record label must've liked quite a bit. I mean, I think it was maybe the first single off this album. It was one right. They created a video for, a music video, which I thought is a pretty interesting video. And yeah. It's one they played on Letterman. I mean, this was like the song from Someday that they really kind of tried to make their big push out there with. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a great song. And I think that the band, even though despite maybe the record label pushing, I feel like they loved it too. I feel like they had a lot of confidence in that song.
Yeah, well, it's a great single because it's really representative of them. It's not a, you know, doesn't diverge from what's great about Granddaddy. I don't know. I think it just rules. It's super, super inspiring. I even, as I was listening to it in the past week, I was like, it's a hard rocking song that is also pretty emotional. Like I can feel overwhelmed when I listen to it. So it doesn't give me like I want to break things, but it gives me some sort of aggressive feeling about, you know, getting my shit together. Once it's on, you never want to turn it off anymore. And now it's on. Oh, I had a hard time. I didn't realize the lyrics. I'm bad at listening properly to lyrics in songs, and I didn't realize that the opening words are like now that the K is in place where the C used to be, and I thought it was now that the decay is in place where the C, as in, you know, the ocean. Used to be. And I was like, oh, that's pretty. Just thought it was like a pretty turn of phrase, and I didn't really think about how it all fit together in the actual song.
That was a good example of a lyric that I heard right, but I never really understood what the hell it meant until Jason like clarified in the
this week I was thinking about it because I was listening to it a bunch and I wanted to learn how to play it.
Yeah.
And then I looked up the lyrics, saw that, and then I Googled and I found your thread, and saw Jason replying. Yeah. And I also saw the genius annotation that, suggests that the K and the C are for, ketamine and cocaine, and that Jason is announcing in the lead off track to his album that he's switched from cocaine to ketamine. Which I don't know.
I liked the other explanation in that same thread that said that the K and the C were abbreviations for the amounts in his bank accounts. It's no longer hundreds, but it's thousands.
Oh, that's great.
I did the same thing you did though. I went back to kind of like check the notes from that thread to see what had come out at that point in time. So
yeah, the guy on Genius with the ketamine thing had a minus 10 score on his thing, though. So I don't think it's going to take off. Now it's on. Now it's on.
Now it's on. We'll be right back. that's all for this episode. Special thanks to Brad for spending time with me. Go check out Brad's Bandcamp page and you'll find a new low in hi-fi along with all of his prior releases. We've only got one episode left this season, and it's an episode I'm really excited about. It's not a musician, but it's someone who had a front row seat to all of the adventures in Granddaddy. Lots of great stories to come in that episode. You won't want to miss it. We'll see you again in a couple of weeks. Take care.